Varanasi for a while, and I was doing a retreat, and I would go every morning to a special temple called the Mahishasura Temple in near Tulsighat, which is one of the downstream from where they throw the bodies in. So every morning I would go and bathe in the Ganges, and maybe an arm would float by, or and then I would meditate in the morning at dawn, and then every morning in that temple I would hear someone singing, you know, but I was meditating so I couldn't see them, and I went many days, and every day they would come and sing the same song, beautiful, beautiful song, to Mahishasura. Mahishasura is a form of Kali. Kali means this tough lady, this really tough lady who beats up the bad guys. The bad guys are our anger, our jealousy, our desire, okay? So she's this really nasty, dark angel who beats up the bad guys. Her name is Kali, right? But in that temple, she's called Mahishasura because one day she beat up this demon who was bugging everybody. It was probably Michael's jealousy or something. And so every morning I'd be meditating with my eyes closed in the temple, and I'd hear this beautiful song to Mahishasura. And I didn't know who it was. I thought it was some lady, maybe some beautiful lady, you know. And then one day I peeked, okay? And it was this really short, chubby grocer guy from across the alley who sold tomatoes in the market, you know. But he had this beautiful voice, and he loved Mahishasura. So I stole this song. So the first part I stole from the chubby grocery guy, and the second part we stole from Krishna Das. Okay, here you go. Oh, and then she's going to start a part about Mahishasura, and you're not going to sing. And then we get into another part where you do sing, and you're going to reply, Om, what is it? Jai Jagadambe He Magadra. Okay, when I start singing, you repeat after me. With Ma Mahishasura? I'm sorry, you do sing after her. Okay. I thought I would introduce the people who are doing the music. This is Kevin Warren. He's building a lot of the buildings at our university. He's building 5 buildings right now. He's a very accomplished builder. He has a degree, PhD from Columbia or something from Columbia University.
Bachelor's.
And he said postgrad. And then he's a very good teacher of Buddhism and yoga. And a very great jazz musician. We're going to start a jazz band. If I can find I'm not asking, okay, but I need an upright bass. And then I think we're going to start a lounge band. And then Mercedes Baleda is a very accomplished singer. I wanted to... I wanted to play her album before the class, but we screwed up somehow. So we'll play it during the break, okay? But it's... To me, it's one of the most beautiful things I ever heard. It's really, really beautiful. She sings with White Swan Records, and she's also a very good teacher, and she's done 12 years of training. She graduated last June after 12 years of training in that. She just got back from a tour of Hong Kong, Vietnam, Taiwan, and Shanghai, like that. She teaches all over. And then Johnny Yeo. He's actually a Broadway star. He performed for Walt Disney Productions in The Lion King in Manhattan.
Tarzan.
Anyway, he did the choreography, some of the choreography. And he's very, very talented. And we stole him. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Okay. We have a request for you. If you have finished homework 2, okay? If you have homework 2 in your hand, please give it to Daniel. And he's going to come around and pick it up, okay? Okay, then if you have turned in homework 1 and 2, they're going to be writing up your certificate now. And then at the end of the class tonight, we'll be handing out those certificates for people who completed. To get the certificate, you also have to finish homework 3, which is being done on an honor system. And so you'll pick up your homework 3 over there at the end of tonight's class. You don't even have to send it to anyone. God is watching. And you're going to fill out homework 3. And also what I thought, at the beginning, we said it would be really nice if everyone in this room taught the Yoga Sutra to someone else. Okay? So I'm really encouraging you. The purpose, at least in my mind, to have a class like this is that you learn how to teach it to somebody else. That's how it has continued for 2,000 years. And, think how embarrassing it would be if it stopped in Phoenix after 2,000 years. So, we're asking you to, at least the people who have come all too nice, and if you finished your homeworks, we're asking you to teach it to other people. It could be just a couple people in your yoga class, okay? It could be over Starbucks. It could be, we have a lot of people, what's kind of about Phil? Yeah, he teaches all over the world on Skype. He sits in the desert near Tucson and teaches in Ireland and Hamburg this week, right? You can do that also. You can just sit on Skype with your camera and teach people in Hamburg or Ireland. We have a guy, Barney Jones. He's an oil executive in Houston, and he's really a big guy. So he teaches with an avatar. An animated avatar on TV, on the internet, and he looks like a samurai with his big sword, and nobody knows what he really looks like. Okay, so think about, passing it on, because it's helpful for people. It's really a helpful thing for people, and it would make people happy. So you can teach it easily if you have the homework masters, which give you all the answers, okay? So basically, you just stare at the question and then you tell the audience what it says. And just kidding. No, you're going to study the homework masters at home and digest them and then regurgitate when you get to your class, okay? And you can have it there in case you forget what you're talking about. And they're very, very detailed. They're teaching notes, okay? So those will be available. Even if you're not getting a certificate and you haven't come to all 3, but you want to steal the course, you want to take all 3 homework masters, go teach them at your yoga studio, God bless you. Okay, you're welcome to take it. Nothing's copyrighted, nothing's owned by anybody except Patanjali, he's not complaining. And you're very welcome to take it. You're very welcome to teach any part of it to anyone who will listen. I was on a bus once. You sit on the outside near the aisle, and the guy next to you can't move. You start teaching them. Nobody will come, okay? These are options. All right. So we finished yesterday the Ashtanga, right? The 8 limbs of yoga. I promised you some question and answer last night. That's best, by the way, when you're learning how to teach, that's best done when people are starting to fall asleep, which you haven't reached yet, so maybe after the break, okay? When you look sleepy, I'll do questions and answers, okay? But right now you're still fresh, so okay. We went through the 5 yamas, or the 5 forms of self-control. We went through gray areas, of the ethical gray areas. You don't have to agree with them, but you have to know about them. And that way you can examine your own life. You see what I mean? Okay. Somebody came up to me during the break. I made 2 mistakes in the course so far, okay? We should be like the New York Times. They have that little box on the 3rd page, which is what? But it has a fancy name. What is it? Retractions or something like that. it's basically things they screwed up. I think it's really honest when you're teaching to say, I screwed up on the first day. Then people sort of trust you more. So I did screw up on the first day. I want to go through two things with you. Okay? One, somebody came up to me and said, oh, Geshe-la, I was doing homework number one. And on the first question, it said, Master Patanjali defines yoga in a negative way, with a negative statement. And did you cover that? And I said, no, I forgot. Okay? And that's like the most important line in the whole Yoga Sutra, so maybe we better do it. Okay? So say yogash.
Yogash.
Chitta.
Chitta.
Vritti.
Vritti.
Nirodha.
Nirodha.
Yogash.
Yogash.
Chitta.
Chitta.
Vritti.
Vritti.
Nirodha.
Nirodha.
This is the second line of the Yoga Sutra. First yoga, first line is Atha Yoga Anushasana, which means I'm going to explain to you about yoga. But that's right over the counter is the first line. Then the second line says Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha, which means yoga means stopping the habit of your mind of twisting things around. Okay, so yoga means yoga, chitta means mind, vritti means twisting things around. It comes into the word vortex, for example. Okay? And then nirodha means to stop. Okay? Stop the mind twisting things around. What does that mean? And what does that mean for your yoga? So the oldest book on yoga defines yoga in a negative way. Okay? When you can stop your mind from twisting things around, then you've mastered yoga. That's yoga. Okay? So there are many other explanations of the word yoga, and they're beautiful and they're important. Okay? But this one has a special meaning. What does it mean to twist things around? Okay? You have a headache. Sound familiar? Yeah, you have a headache. And I know, like I had one recently. I came to Phoenix on a 115 degree day. We went around looking for, we're looking for a church, by the way, if anybody knows, we're looking for a Spanish mission style adobe for sale church where we can have these classes and stuff like that. So if you know any, let me know. On the edge of a Hispanic neighborhood, because we want to have a community center also to help poor people. So anyway, if you know any place, let me know. We're looking. Anyway, on that day we saw, I don't know how many, 10 churches. I got a really bad headache. Because they were all like really bad. And you look at the aspirin, right? You open the bottle, you get a bottle, somebody gives you a bottle, you struggle, you get the cap off, and you look at the pill, and you reach in, okay? You reach in and you touch the pill. Why? Because you have a bad headache and you want it to stop, okay? You have a bad headache and you want it to stop. The fact that you reach in connects to the second thing I forgot to tell you correctly, okay? Which is the fifth of the five steps to when you do something wrong, okay? We said avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, avinivesha. We said avidya is a seed in your mind from your past life from misunderstanding stuff. Then asmita is thinking that aspirin has something in it that will help you, okay? In it. Just remember the word in it, okay? Thinking that aspirin has something in it, which is called, Rebecca, the thing in it.
Active
ingredient. Okay? Active means the thing that works, okay? Active ingredient. Then there's starch, which is the inactive. I looked it up. I looked at the bottle. Okay? The active ingredient is supposed to be aspirin. The inactive ingredient is supposed to be starch. Okay, I guess it's cornstarch or something. The white pill. But you asmita, the second part of ignorance means you have a seed from your past life that predisposes you to thinking wrong. Then you reach in and touch the pill because you believe there's something in the pill that will help you, right? That's asmita. That's the second part of the five steps of having a messed up mind, okay? Why is that wrong? What's wrong with that? Why is it wrong to think there's an active ingredient in aspirin if the FDA has gone through all these tests and they have certified on the bottle that, you know, there is an active ingredient, okay? Because it doesn't work. This whole class is about, do things work? Does stuff work? Okay? Yeah, and you have to say no.
Okay, at least not the way we thought. Okay? That aspirin doesn't work. How do you know? Because when you take it, you make a little paraffin. I make a little paraffin, you know. You're like, I hope it works today. You know, why do you have to make that paraffin? Because sometimes it doesn't work, okay? If you have a functional thing, this is debate, Buddhist debate, you know. If you have a functional object, which functions only sometimes, it's not functional. Got it? Like if you have a car that starts half the time, you don't have a car. You have part car and part ornamentation for your house. You know, no, really, you don't have a car. Got it? If the thing only works sometimes, it's not really that thing. If a medicine, if you take a pill and it doesn't affect you, is it a medicine? You have to say no. You see, if you take a tablet to remove a headache, and after you take it, nothing happens, we can't call that a medicine at that time. How about that? At that time, it's not functioning as a medicine. It's not a medicine. It's a starch pill. Okay? It's just a pill. It's not doing anything. Okay? If it only works sometimes, it's not an aspirin. It's not a headache medicine. Okay? I have a joke, you know. You're at the door of the airplane. I travel all the time on airplanes, right? I'm on airplanes half my life. And you go to the door of the jet ramp thing, and you get up to the door, and the steward is standing there, and he says, okay, sir, before you get on the plane, can you just sign this paper, you know? And you say, you know, why? What's on the paper? He says, don't stress, just sign it. You know, I'll take care of everything. And then you're like, but what does the paper say? And he says, no, it's just some kind of waiver thing, you know? And you say, what do you mean waiver thing? Waiver against what? He says, well, we almost understand this flying thing. Like, most of the time, these planes take off and land perfectly, you know? And they're just, once in a while, they fall down, we don't know why. And people get killed, and we're just asking you to sign a waiver, you know? And then what would you do? Really, if it happened to you, what would you do? If they open a new airline, and at the door, there's some guy who says, you know, just sign, you know, and you're like, wait a minute, you know, and then you would leave, right? No, I mean, most sane people. We were on the first flight out of North America to Europe after the volcano. We were on the first flight over, and a bunch of people on the plane got off, you know. They asked the steward, is it safe? And they said, we think so. No, we had to wait an extra hour. They unloaded all those people's baggage, and you know, we took off, and then they went to Africa and came up. It was really cool. It was kind of long. And, but you wouldn't get on the plane if you thought it didn't work. And a plane that only works sometimes is not a functioning airplane, got it? So aspirin doesn't work, okay? But you have an old habit that comes from many years of misunderstanding how stuff works. And to be honest, it's a kind of resignation. You are resigned to the fact that nothing you ever do will necessarily work. You got used to it. You decided at some point in your life, you know, your mother gave you aspirin for 6 headaches when you were a little kid. And then on the 6th headache, nothing happened. And you said, Mom, nothing happened. She said, well, sometimes that's the way it is. You know? And then you've got, as a culture, as a civilization, we have gotten accustomed to that. We've learned to live with that. You know? You'll get up in the morning, you go to work. You may be fired. You get up, you get in your car. You may die before you get to work. It's a possibility. And you live with that. You just live with that. You try things, and you got used to the idea that maybe it's not going to work. And you live with that. Pretty much you're thinking, it'll work most of the time. Or I hope it works most of the time. I'll take an aspirin on the chance that it will work. And it works 60% of the time for me, so hell, I'll take the aspirin, you know, because nothing else works like that, okay? That's ignorance, okay? That's yogas chitta vritti. That's yogas chitta vritti. Do you take aspirin? Yes. Why? It works. Does it work? No. That's a twisted mind. You see? Yogas chitta vritti. Nirodha means stop that. Stop that state. Stop that thinking. At least admit things don't work. You know, you get into a car, you don't know if you'll die before you get to the place you're going to. You step out of bed in the morning because you think, today I can do something. You believe that. You get out of bed and you step out and you put your foot on the floor because you think something will happen today. I will work, or I will go try to meet somebody, or I'll try to do something. But you have no guarantee that anything good will happen. And I said the other night, you know, there's these depressed people who stay in bed all day. Why? I think they're the smart ones. I think they're the smart ones. They realize that maybe they'll step out of bed and die in half an hour. You see? They're like, why step out of bed? If you don't know what's going to happen today, why get out of bed? Stay in bed. You know what I mean? And there are people like that. And sometimes they're the most intelligent people, okay? So, Asmita, second, there's yoga's chitta vritti, okay? There's how the mind twists things. You believe, you honestly believe, after a whole lifetime of semi-failure, everything you ever did, you're pretty much thinking the odds are best with aspirin. Aspirin doesn't work all the time, but it's better than eating the bottle. You know, like, maybe it will work. You hope. You know, you get in your car. Deep in your heart, you know you might die before you get to where you're going. But you figure there's not much you can do about it, you know? Let me get in the car and I'll go. You go. You try. And what yoga is when you get to the point where you understand why stuff works and you can make stuff work every time. That's all. Okay? It could be your asana practice, you know? Will your physical yoga make you strong? Does aspirin work? Does yoga work? I know so many people who hurt themselves in yoga. I know Ningbo has a really bad shoulder from doing yoga, right? And I know people who have really badly hurt their necks and stuff like that. Yoga is the same as aspirin. See, yoga is the same as aspirin. There are odds that it will make you strong. There are odds that it will make you healthy. But it's not certain, right? And what the Yoga Sutra is saying, if you understand how stuff works, you can make things happen at will. Okay? You can make things work. Things left to themselves may work and may not work. A yogi can inject things with something that makes them work every time. Okay? Prove it. You give me some evidence. Okay? I mean, you should ask that. In your mind, you should say, give me some evidence. And then I always say, okay, my lama asked me to start a business to help the refugees. I said I have no experience and I hate business. I'm not interested in business. We had a 1-year fight. You can't say no to your lama, so you delay. You say, yes, lama, Rinpoche. You have to stick your tongue out in Tibet. Yes, Rinpoche. I will definitely do as you say very soon. And then you keep delaying, you know. So then one day he caught me and said, you have to start it this week or you're out, you know. And he said, use the principles you've learned and apply them to a business situation. Just as an experiment, just for fun. See if you can make that stuff work. See if you can, what do you call it? Tweak your reality with a business that you have no interest in. Because we'll use the money for refugees. Okay, that business was sold last year for $250 million to Warren Buffett. Okay? With no experience, and in part-time, in the part-time work. Okay? By tweaking, you see? By making the aspirin work. By forcing the aspirin to work. Got it? And then I tell people I had a handicap. I couldn't walk sometimes. And now I do ballet, okay? And I'm almost 100 years old. And now I can pick up the lady. I started picking up the lady, okay? And like that, I have a friend who has cancer, and she used these methods, and it's gone. Okay, so you can take a thing which might or might not work, like an aspirin, and with the correct knowledge, you can imbue it with the power to work. You see, that's all. Okay, when you learn that, you are a yogi. When you learn that, that's yoga, because you have stopped how the mind turns the thing around. You have stopped misunderstanding aspirin. Okay? Aspirin doesn't have any active ingredient in it. There's no such thing. That's proved by the fact that when you take an aspirin, it may not help you. Okay? But a yogi with proper training can put into the aspirin an active ingredient. Okay? That's the cool thing. And you can make anything happen. You can make weird, weird stuff happen. That was the fastest growing history in the fastest growing company, manufacturing company in the history of Manhattan. Okay? Part-time. You know, just working part-time. And then you can put the working into things. See, you can place the working into things. Okay, that's yoga. Okay? It's not just about exercise, okay? But it's also about exercise. Because if you know yoga, then you can make the yoga work on you, the asana. Then you can go and the asanas will work. And you can do all sorts of beautiful poses that you couldn't do before. Because you know how to make them work. You see? Yoga means knowing how to make stuff work. Got it? So I finished the first line and now you're not going to get the rest. Alright. Oh, so at first you carry into this life misunderstanding things. The habit of putting up with a world that only works sometimes. Okay? You live with it. You learn to accept it. And that's wrong. You should demand better. So say, I want the aspirin to work every time. Geshe Lab, teach me how to make the aspirin work every time. I'm tired of aspirin that doesn't work sometimes. Then you come into the life, you come into this life with the habit of thinking that, oh, it's okay if stuff works sometimes because there's nothing better. I haven't seen anything better. Okay? And that's true. You haven't seen anything better. Step two. Due to the influence of your past lives, ignorance, you open up the bottle, you touch the aspirin, and you hope. That's number two, asmita. You think there's something in the aspirin that might help you. Raga dvesha. You cling to the aspirin. You hate people who take away aspirin from you. Okay? Alright? That's a desire and hatred, right? Raga and dvesha. Then the one I didn't explain correctly the other night is abhinivesha, step number five. Okay, abhinivesha, step number five, from the second chapter. Then you take the aspirin. That's abhinivesha. Okay? You take the aspirin. Okay? What is that? It's karma. Okay? Abhinivesha, the last step, is to take the aspirin. What's wrong with taking the aspirin? I really want to try to get you to think a certain way, okay? Because that's yoga. If I can stop the turning of your mind, that's yoga. Okay? You take the aspirin out of the bottle and you put it in your mouth. The thing you are putting in your mouth doesn't exist at all. Okay? You have to be really careful on that. The thing you are putting in your mouth doesn't exist at all. Why do I say that? You think there's a pill that has something inside it that will help you. A pill which has something inside it which will help you does not exist. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. There's no such thing in the whole world as a pill which has something inside it that will help you. So abhinivesha, step number five. When you reach in and take that object in your fingers and put it on your tongue, you are dealing with a thing that doesn't even exist. Okay? I was on the road the other day. It was windy. It was dusk. I was driving a little too fast down a residential neighborhood. And I saw a mouse run across the street. And I slammed on the brakes. You know, I was like, "Arch!" You know? And then I looked to see if I hit him. You know, I looked to see if he'd run out the other side. And this leaf blows across the second half of the street. And then I'm like, oh man, I almost knocked my head through the windshield for a leaf. You know? Okay? I thought it was a mouse. And then I realized it was just a rolling leaf. Okay? Was there a mouse? Did the mouse exist? You say no. What do you call it? An imagination of the mouse exists. Okay? A picture in my mind of a mouse existed. But there was no mouse. Got it? There was no real mouse. Okay? Aspirin is the same. It's exactly the same. When you reach into the bottle, you take out that pill, and you put it on your tongue, you are putting a leaf on your mouth. Okay? It's not an aspirin. Got it? Because it doesn't do anything. It take a pebble, take a marble, take a jelly bean, take a carrot, take a cow. It's all the same. They don't work. An aspirin doesn't work. Why? You have to get used to that. Break out of avidya. Break out of the habit, lifetime habit, of pretending that stuff works, because it doesn't work. Okay? Just admit it for once. You know, does aspirin work? No. Why? Because it doesn't work every time. If it worked, it would work every time. Okay? That's all. It's a crapshoot. It's a gamble. It's random. It might stop your headache, it might not. Okay? What yoga is, identify how to imbue the aspirin with the real power. When it works, why does it work? That's what we want to ask. When it works, why does it work? Figure that out. And then just take them that way. Got it? But when they say Maya or illusion or something like that, when they talk about illusion in these things, they are talking about the aspirin. And that's bad news. That means everything you interact with in your life doesn't exist. Okay? The car, the chair, the light, the house, the other people in the room, they're not what they seem to be. Okay? They're false. It doesn't work. Aspirin doesn't work. Okay? You are spending your whole life manipulating objects that aren't there. Your whole life is slamming on brakes for mouses that aren't there. Okay? It's bad. Okay? It's bad. They say in the scriptures you've never had a correct perception at all in your life, in your whole life. You've been slamming brakes your whole life. Every attempt to make money, every yoga pose you ever did, every time you approach somebody because you thought they were kind of cute and tried to do something, they were all mistaken. They were slamming on your brakes for someone who's not there. Okay? It's very radical. Okay? It's very radical. So what are you supposed to do, Geshe Michael? I better go to that. Okay, it's supposed to come at the end of tonight, but while your mind's on it, before you despair and leave. Which also means when you shoot yourself, it doesn't work, okay? Question is, when an aspirin works for you, why does it work? Because if we could figure that out, we'd be all right. Okay, I like to call it the stapler theory. Okay, the stapler theory. And usually I have a stapler here and I don't remember to bring it. Does a stapler work? Can you connect two pieces of paper with a stapler?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. When it works, why does it work? When it works to connect the two papers, why does it work? What helps? Yeah, if there's staplers in it, okay? Okay, if it's loaded. Got it? You can say, if it's loaded, Geshe Michael, the thing will work. I mean, in the case, on an obvious level, on a gross level, a stapler will work if it's loaded, okay? An action will work if it's loaded. An aspirin will work if it's loaded. A car will work if it's loaded. Okay? A business strategy will work. I'm talking fastest growing company in the history of Manhattan, if it's loaded. A treatment on your foot will work if it's loaded. No treatment on your foot will work if it's loaded. Okay? Because I didn't take any treatment. I mean, the doctors told me to take all this stuff and I said, no, I'm doing it my way. Okay? So what is your way? Your reality is flowing from your mind. Okay? Your reality is flowing from your mind. Is this a good looking stapler or not? Do you like the color? Does everybody like the color? Is there anybody who thinks it's a really ugly green? I think so. Okay. So the attractiveness of this object is not coming from it. It's not coming this way, okay? The attractiveness of this color is not coming this way. What's the proof of that statement? If it were coming this way, we would all find it equally attractive, okay? That proves that the attractiveness of this object must be coming from each person's mind.
I find it ugly. It reminds me of an army color, which I find repulsive. You know? So I think some people say, well, it's kind of cute. It's a cute color.
Okay. How you perceive the beauty of it or the ugliness of it is not coming from its side. It's coming from your side. Okay? Why?
We say there's a seed for a perception which is opening in your mind at the moment I say, how do you like that? And then there's a seed in your mind is opening. A tiny, tiny seed in your mind is opening. And then you either feel attracted to it or you think it's ugly. Okay? The reason you feel it's a good color or the reason you feel it's a bad color, and this is really relevant for your favorite song. Like, I played one of my favorite songs for my friends today. I blasted it on my laptop. They were driving. I opened the laptop and held it up to their ear, you know. And they were like, yeah, Geshe-la, that's really good. You know, I was like, they don't get it. You know, so how you feel about a song is not coming, cannot be coming from the song, or everyone's favorite song would be the same. It has to be coming from us. And we say, a seed grows in your mind, a seed of perception grows in your mind, and it affects how you see the color. Okay? Beauty or ugliness are filters that are placed between you and the object by seeds growing in your own mind. Who put the seeds there? Are they just random? You know? Is it just random? We say no. That doesn't make sense. Everything should have a consistent cause. If there's a seed in your mind to see that as ugly, the action or the power that put that in your mind must have also been ugly in some way. Watermelons come from watermelons. Grapes don't come from thistles. See? The content of an experience should equal the content of what caused that experience. See? So, if I find it attractive, it must be related to providing beauty to the world. If I find it attractive, and that's coming from a seed in my mind, that seed must have been planted by providing something of beauty to others. Got it? All your experiences, the content of all your experiences is determined by how you treat other people. How well do you take care of other people? And they exactly determine how you're going to experience an object. And I'm not saying, you know, don't squash bugs because you'll break your leg. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the opposite. You want to make $250 million company in record time, in your free time, while you're finishing the Geshe course, which nobody has ever done. You know? How do you do that? Just plant the right seeds. Just understand that stuff is coming from seeds in your mind. And then stop worrying about the color and start planting seeds. Concentrate on seeds. We call it gutting. Tada Kshetakabad. Say Tada Kshetakabad. It's from the fourth chapter. Opening line. Yoga Sutra. We must be as gardeners. Bhat means light. Kshetaka means a gardener or a farmer. Kshetakabad means you should, once you've turned your mind around, back around, which means you are a yogi, you're practicing yoga, then start gardening. Kshetakabad. Start making your world. What do you want in your life? I want a partner. Okay, how do you plant a seed to have a partner? Okay? Help lonely people. You know, and I told a joke the other night. People ask me, they always come up to me with these dumb questions. We call them diamond dealer questions, you know? Would you like a yellow diamond or would you like one with a black spot in it? I mean, this is what they teach you in the diamond business, you know? Oh, this is the yellow diamond, but it's cheap. This one has a black spot, but at least it's not yellow. You know? And then they're like, so don't ask me these questions. You know, don't say, should I go to a club to meet a guy? Or should I go online to meet a guy? Because I heard about some guys, some girls who met like rapists online. And then I heard about somebody went to a club and somebody mugged them. You know what I mean? Like, what should I do, Geshe Michael? Should I go to a club or should I get online? You know, what do you think? You know, I said, I think you should go to a nursing home. You know? And then I told you they think I'm kinky. I said, no, it's not kinky. You go to a nursing home and you help a lonely person. Find a lonely person.
and help them. And then you put a state line in your mind. You're loaded. You're loaded. You see? Things are loaded then. Then you can do whatever you want. You can go online, you'll find the guy. You can go to a club, you'll find the guy. You can sit in your house and the guy will knock on your door. It happened to me. And another guy. No, Lama Christy, those of you know Lama Christy, she came to me that way. She knocked on my door. I didn't go out looking for my spiritual partner, you know. It came, you know. You just put the seed in your mind, and then you relax. By the way, I mean, that's not the subject of this class, but then you can relax and stop making decisions. You are no longer faced with decisions. People spend a lot of their life trying to decide between, should I go to a club, should I go on the internet, should I eat this, should I eat that, should I try to lose weight this way, should I try to lose weight that way. All the decision making is stopped when you understand staples. And you load actions. When you load the action, then there's no more decisions, you see? They say, how are you going to find the boy? Are you going to use Shaklee Red Lava lipstick? Or are you going to go for Lancome Hot Pink, you know? And then you say, I'll do whatever I feel like at the time, but I'm not going to Sephora. I'm going to the nursing home, you know, and I'm going to take care of some elderly people, make them less lonely, and then I'll go to Sephora and I'll pick out whatever I feel like, and it will work. You see, it'll be loaded. Okay, and I'm not talking pie in the sky, and I'm not talking new agey stuff, and I'm not talking you have to believe. I'm talking hard numbers. I mean, $250 million, okay? Warren Buffett, okay? And ballet. Okay? So, I mean, you can load anything. And of course, I mean, I'm talking in the context of a spiritual audience, right? Then we use it on Iraq. Then we use it on Afghanistan. Then we use it on world hunger. Then we use it on war, poverty, and those, and we are. I mean, the people that have been trained, I mean, they just spent what, they really did just get back from Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh, Singapore, Taipei. They've been in Shanghai, Dalian, Beijing University, and they are, people are learning this kind of how to do, way of doing things, you see? And then slowly, when I was in college, they used to say, the test of a religion is what would happen if everybody was doing it. The test of a religion is what would happen if everybody was doing it. What if everybody in the world thought that the only way to make money was to give money to poor people? See? What if it became the worldview of the globe, that the only way to increase your stock price or your return on investment would be to help a poor person start a business? What would happen to the world? What would happen in the world then? And then you have to imagine that. You know, you have to think what would happen then. It's very beautiful. If this Yoga Sutra thinking became the world's way of thinking, if everybody yoga chitta vritti nirodha, right? We call it mandala. It would be a perfect world. It would become a mandala. Everybody, the car companies would be competing to give away cars to poor people in Africa. Because why? Why? They want to increase their stock price. They want to make more money next year. So they have to give cars away. What if that were policy of all the car companies? We were in Detroit the other day. We convinced some people. Okay, we'll see what happens with Chevrolet. Well, we had some of the top management GM was there. Rory, right? Yeah, okay. We'll see if it happens. I don't know. Now we can start today's class. Okay, we were on Ashtanga. We were on the eight limbs of yoga, which are Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dhyana, Samadhi. Oh my god, this is nice. Real good. Okay. interesting. I mean, this is just a fact for people who are going to teach the Yoga Sutra in the yoga class. There's about 200 verses in the Yoga Sutra. How many are about the yoga poses? I mean, really, you can say one. It's about 1.5. Okay? Say sthira, sukham, asanam. Three words devoted in the Yoga Sutra to what people in the West call yoga. Okay? There's only three words in the Yoga Sutra about all the poses of yoga. Okay? Sthira means steady. Okay? It comes from the same word as station, for example. Sukham means well-being. And asana means, that's what asana is. Asanas bring you a steady state of well-being. Asanas provide you with a steady state of well-being. Okay? So in the next two lines, Master Patanjali clarifies asana a bit. But if you want to know what he thought about asanas, it was only three things. One, if you keep doing asanas, you will achieve a state of well-being, which stays with you. It doesn't go away easily. If you keep doing a daily practice of asana, you can expect to have some feeling of well-being, which will stay, okay? Which will stick with you for a while. Then he says, asana should be a balance. Yatna shaitirya prayatna, something like that. It's a balance of effort and relaxation. So when you do your asanas, this is the only thing he says about asana. It will bring you a steady sense of well-being. And you have to struggle to stay between effort and relaxation. Okay, like you have to learn to make effort in your poses, but at the same time be loose. Okay? Do hard poses and stay loose at the same time. Prayatna Shaitilyam. Mm-hmm. But then he says something else. He says samapattim. It will bring you to a balanced state of meditation. It will bring you to a balanced state of meditation. That's all he says about yoga as we think of yoga in the West. Three things. It will bring you a steady sense of well-being. Keep your practice between over-effort and laziness, really. Being too loose. And then you will attain a state of samapatti. Samapatti means balanced meditation, okay? And it has a couple of meanings. The most basic meaning is that in any state of meditation, the Sanskrit word for meditation, one of them is samapatti. In Tibetan, it's nyomju. Samapatti means maintain balance, maintain a state of balance. Between what and what, okay? I like to think of it as, you know how your hands move on the wheel when you're driving a car? Okay? Like you're constantly correcting. If you get used to it. When you first start driving, you're like, you know, and your teacher like, you know, and then it gets more subtle and you can talk on your cell phone and you're going like this and you're not even thinking about it. You're making mini corrections as you go. That's what a good meditator is doing. Okay? Between what and what? We call it, in Tibet we call it chingwa gupa. Say chingwa.
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 And gupa.
Gupa.
We're going to have a 10-session course in November on the principles of meditation. And it's fantastic. I was trained in it for many years. And it's free. We're not trying to make money. It's just free. And it will be here in November. Okay? First week, I think. First week in November. Something like that. 6 to 14. But it basically is concentrated on 2 weekends. Like you work hard, you have a class Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday evening, and Saturday afternoon. And then you come back the next weekend. And then maybe you have a couple during the week at night, so in case you're working, you can make it. But anyway, you can really, really learn the fine points of meditation. And then 2 months later, we'll take you, if you want, we'll go out and do it for 10 days straight. We'll just meditate for 10 days up in Prescott. We have a church camp that we talked into letting us be there. So I'll show you the thing. I'll put it up later. But anyway, one of the main principles of in that training is that meditation is a balance between two states of mind, chingwa and gupa. Qingwa means spacing out. Qingwa means spacing out. Okay? It's like you're not moving. You're really good. Your pose, your form is good. You know, you're sitting very still, you're in a full lotus, your back is straight, your shoulders are level, your nose is straight. And you're just not thinking about anything. You're spaced out. It's a dullness. They say it's a kind of dullness. They say it's like a knife which is dull. Okay? Then Gupa is the opposite extreme. Qingwa is like zoning out. Okay? Qingwa is zoning out. And then Gupa is to think about lunch. Or to think about your job. Usually you think about the person who hurt you yesterday. Or last year. Or 10 years ago. Who dumped you 10 years ago. And you're still like trying to figure out how creepy they are. And that's a very common meditation. So, no, I mean, people do that for 10 years, you know? So there's Qingwa, which is like, you know, and then there's Gupa, which is like, and then meditation, Samapatti, balanced meditation, is somewhere between. Okay? Balanced meditation is somewhere. There's a higher form of that balance, okay? There's a higher form of that balance. On one side, there's believing in the aspirin. Aspirin has something in it which can help me. Okay? That's one extreme. The other extreme is to think I could never get aspirin to work all the time. And they're both very grave errors in a life. You can waste a life. You can spend a whole human life in vain, in frustration and in failure, by staying in either one of these. Thinking that aspirin works, has something in it that works, or thinking that aspirin... What did I say, the second one? That you never could get it to work every time. Got it? Okay, and the middle way, the middle path is to understand if you loaded the aspirin, it would always work. If you understood how to load the aspirin, it would always work. If you understood how to load a business strategy, your business would succeed every year. Your business would double every year for 15 years. You know what that means? I mean, most companies are happy to get 3 to 5% growth, right? You're talking 100% every year. Every 12 months, 100% growth. Okay, for 15 years straight. And what happens when you double something every year? Because it goes 1, 2, 4, 8, you know, 16, 32. It doesn't go 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we just bought a huge building in New York, you know. So it is possible to load an action, and then it will work every time. How do you load? Did we finish that? Yeah, we better do that in case we have to stop. Oh, we did finish it. It was go to the nursing home. Like, don't get caught up in the bad choices. Don't get caught up in, should I invest in the stock market or should I buy a building? Don't get caught up in, should I use Shakti Red Lava or should I use Lancome Hot Pink? You know? Don't get caught up in, should I go on the net or should I go to a club? These are all false choices. Don't get caught up in decisions. Find the real cause and load the action. Then you can invest in a property, or you can invest in stocks and it will go up. Then you can use Shakti or Lancome, you're going to get the guy. Then you can go on the net, or you can go to a club and she'll show up. Okay? Or you can sit in your house. We did discuss that. So, when you want something to happen, load the action. Before you take an action, before you reach in and touch the aspirin, Abhinivesha, load the action. First, go load the action. What's the general rule for loading an action? Very simple. Whatever you would like to happen in your life, provide it to someone else first. Whatever you would like to happen in your own life, provide it to someone else first. When we started our diamond company in Manhattan, and I had $7 in my pocket at the time, in the same year, we helped some refugees start their own little company in Tibetan refugees in the Himalayas. So we spent equal time on their company and equal time on our company. So they started with nothing. They didn't have anything. They didn't have rice. I mean, they were refugees in the poorest country in the world. And then we said, we'll help you start a business, an enterprise. And that's been 23 years now. And we're still going. We're still helping them. Okay, so there, we spent half our attention unloading. You see? We spent not $5, not $10, not an occasional check to, what do you call it? United Way. We spent half of the resources of our company to make them successful. And then it fed our success. You see what I mean? And I'm not just saying for money, okay? If you wanted to stop the war in Iraq, then you would have, or wanted to stop hunger. If, say, Iraq, then that's easy, right? Ahimsa? Pratishtayam? Tat? Hanidal? Minor? Yaga. I knew you knew it. Okay. Ahimsa, Pratishtayam, Tat, Hanidal, Minor. Second chapter. If you want to stop violence in the world, search your own heart for small violence. Because it's coming, it's flowing from your mind. Where is that? It's flowing from your mind. Right? The color you see is flowing from your mind, and the violence you see is flowing from your mind. Are you a murderer who blows up a mosque every 3 days? No. Are you slightly happy when the person you don't like at work screws up? I mean, more than slightly happy. Okay? Not really. I am. I don't know about you. That's a violence. That's a kind of violence. All mental seeds grow exponentially. All mental seeds grow exponentially. An acorn weighs 3 grams. An oak tree weighs 3 tons. Something happens between, right? We said your mother's egg, your father's sperm, a couple cells, maintain the billions of cells in your body for 70 years. Okay? There's a power to seeds, and you have to respect that power. If you're going to play this game, you've got to respect that power. Okay? You help 12 refugees in a little camp in Tibet. You play your cards right, your company will have 10,000 employees by the time you're done. You see? Because of how things spread, you remove the small violences in your own heart. You use your meditation time. You examine your own mind carefully. You learn to be so sensitized to the state of your own mind that the minute your mind starts to be glad that the person you don't like at work failed, you shut it down. Halfway through the thought. Okay? You get so good at meditation, you can shut a thought down halfway. I love our university. People have been through 12 years of training. They're not perfect. We're not perfect. But what I love about the university is that there are so many half-finished sentences there. Let's take the example of someone that you find irritating, right? There's someone in your life that you don't like, right? And you want to complain about them. According to that verse from the Yoga Sutra, Hinsa Pratishtaya Tatsanyavarga, according to that, a person who is irritating is coming from your irritating behavior. So when you announce to the world that you find someone irritating, what are you really announcing to those who know? You're announcing your own failure. You see? When you say, I can't believe what, do you know what she did the other day? She came out of the car and she, and then what I like in our university is there's so many sentences that stop there. Because what it is to say, I'm irritating. You see? It's an admission of guilt. When you say, I find her really irritating, you're saying that you're irritating, because the world is a mirror, right? So what I'm saying is get to the point where you think half a thought. In your mind comes the sentence, I can't believe she got... Then I'll tell you something cool. I'll tell you something really cool. What time is it? Okay, then we'll take a break. Okay, I'll tell you, we're not even doing this, okay? It's a trick. We advertise your institution. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. If you really understand yoga and you understand how to stop your mind from turning things around, then your reaction to every calamity in your life, your reaction to every problem in your life, will be to do something kind for someone. See what I mean? There's no more decision about, do I yell at the lady, or do I just push her? You know what I mean? Like, you don't sit at home and think, okay, tomorrow do I yell, or do I push, you know? If you really understand where stuff is coming from, if you have a very sensitive yoga, right? That's yoga. If you have a very sensitive knowledge of where stuff is coming from, the only reaction you can ever contemplate is what kind of kindness are you going to do to him? Because it's the only one that works. You see what I mean? And then there's this hope. Your mind is released from all these, you know, debating about how to hurt them properly. You know, should I push? Should I yell? Should I defend myself? Should I lay back? And then it's all done. It's all finished, you see? You aren't thinking about them anymore. I met a person at work who yells. A yogi, a person who understands yoga, what's their first thought? Someone yelled at them at work. What's their very first thought if you're a yogi? Who was I yelling at? How can I stop my yelling? It becomes a natural reflex. It's a trained reflex of a yogi because they understand reality. They understand why aspirin works. So the first time somebody yells at them, what's their first reaction? Who can I stop yelling at? Who am I yelling at? Okay? Then your life becomes just a constant debate in your mind of what kind of kindness can I do to people today? You know, your options are only, should I not yell at her or should I not yell at him? Or should I speak kindly to him or to her? And then the whole mind goes off of, oh, I was hurt. Someone yelled at me. I don't like them. I should get them back. The whole state of mind is shifted to positive. You're just thinking about, what kind of nice thing can I do today? Why? Why? You want to get rid of the person who yelled at you. It's ruthless. It's a very determined policy to get rid of this person. Okay? And you can do it. I have 800 people working in my office. Everyone was cool. They kept checking out. They kept punching out at 9 o'clock. One time I said, look, I fixed the clock. It will not record a time after 5 o'clock. You can punch out whatever you want. It's going to say 5 o'clock. You know? The next day, 800 people. They're there till 9. You know? And I made a company meeting. I said, what's going on? You know? I'm not paying you. I told you yesterday, you're not getting paid after 5 o'clock. Forget the time and a half. I said, we like it here. We want to stay. Let us stay. Give us some more work. You know? 4 hours for free. You know, and I'm like, yeah, this is weird, you know. So you can clean out your life. You can clean out your world. You see? You don't like people yelling at you, what? How to get rid of them. Yeah. Examine your own life. Who am I yelling at? And it doesn't have to be yelling. You know it doesn't have to be yelling. It can be, I really liked what you did yesterday with that customer. When you know that they lost the customer yesterday. You see, it doesn't have to be yelling. It's any kind of malicious speech, right? So you think, if you spend your whole life worrying about your own behavior, you're suddenly working in a company with 800 people who want to work 4 hours overtime for free every night. Got it? You clean out your life. One by one, all the creeps leave. You know? Because you're nice to everyone. It's really cool. I can't prove that to you, right? But it was like that. Okay. I'm supposed to make some announcements before we take the break. Let me see. Okay, if you did homework 2, you have to give it to Christine, who's back there, okay? And she's going to finish your certificate before the end of the night. And then around 9-ish, Ian and Vanessa are going to help me hand out the certificates, okay? And Valeriano, you can tell him he would have, but he missed out. Okay. Are you ready to post something on the... Okay. So, in theory, okay. You must not be showing things to people. Okay. if you... finish the course, you get a free book of your choosing. Okay? So there's books over there. There's some books about yoga. There's some books about business. And there's a, I guess there's a Christian book too. Or anyway, so if you get a certificate, you're welcome to go over to the book. Isn't there some website thing? No?
Yeah, you used to scroll down.
Well, you know, you're going to make it louder to scroll down. Okay. All right, those are websites if you want more stuff, okay? There's about 10,000 pages of scriptures on there for free. You just download them. The audio is free also. There's talks like this that have been going on for 15 years. You want to learn how to meditate, you click on how to meditate, and you can hear the class back in New York in 1996. And you can go to the whole class for free. Okay? It's better to do it from a human being. And we'll start that process next fall. Okay, we'll have a class here, free 10 days. And then I'll start, we'll start having senior teachers come for free. And you want to do a course with 3 people or 10 people. Or you can get personal attention. You can get personal meditation.
Yeah, so this is what we had about something on the
yeah? You have it? Oh, they're printing this document. Okay, so you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, Los Angeles is August, okay? You'll remember, okay? You're going to help us in LA, okay? I know you know at least a few people. Okay. Dhyanamkara Institute means if you want to start a business, we'll help you and we'll teach you how to succeed at it.
All the dates
are wrong. You want to sit with Darcy and tell her right now what the correct dates are? And don't hand out the paper, and you got to write them down if you want. That's simple. If you are in the Atman Yoga training, you get free books also, right? Or did they get already? No. Okay, so if you're in the Atman Yoga teacher training and that's why you're here, you're welcome also to go take a free book. Or maybe 2, alright? I don't care. I think we said 2 at some point, and I don't want to lie, okay? We are in the process down near Tucson. We finished a 14-year course at the university. Everybody graduated. 30 or 40 hardcore people are going into a 3-year silent retreat, which I did from 2000 to 2003. And so now the next generation is going to do it starting the last day of December, I think. So if you would, we still need help building their cabins. We're just about done. We built 15, 20 cabins, adobe and other materials. But if you're interested in coming and being in the hot sun and stacking bricks, talk to who? Kevin, the drummer. Okay, because he's building like 5 of them. Okay. What else? That's all right. Yeah. Is that all? Right. We'll do the other time then. Okay.
Did you cover what Master Patanjali meant when he said, if we turn the combined effort upon the sun, we will understand the earth? Is that from last night?
Let's take some questions. Now you're tired and you want refreshments. Let's take a question. She said, on the homework yesterday, there was a statement that if you turn the combined effort as Surya Samyama, you will understand what?
You will understand the earth.
Oh, Bhuvana Jnana. Got it. I'm trying to remember the Sanskrit and present word. Chandra Samyama, Karma Vyuha Jnana, these are the 3 verses in question. Okay. Sun means the right-hand channel, the secondary channel on the right. Moon means the secondary channel on the left. The sun channel is a synonym for pingala. Moon channel is a synonym for idda. These are 2 of the inner channels of your body. Dhruve, which means the axis, refers to the Sushumna, or the central channel of the body. Okay? These are the three great channels in the body. Sanya, but what you're really interested in is the combined effort. Okay? What does combined effort mean? In the third chapter of the Yoga Sutra. Okay? What does combined effort mean? Combined effort means use the last three of the Ashtanga. Use the last three of the Ashtanga combined. Work hard. It's called Sanyama. And you use the, what are the last three? Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. The ability to focus the mind on one thing. A. B, the ability to fixate the mind on that over a period of time, like an hour or 2 hours. Then Samadhi, the ability to focus on an object, keep your mind on that object, aspirin, okay? Focus on the aspirin. Hold it in your mind for a period of time, and then the ultimate anga, the final of the ashtanga, step number eight, understand the aspirin in a deep state of meditation. Understand the aspirin in a deep state of meditation. It does not have anything in it which can help me. I have to go help sick people. I have to hand out aspirins at work, even if they don't work. Okay? Got it? I have to load the aspirin. In a deep state of meditation, step number eight of the yogic path, you understand this. Now take those three. Take those three qualities. The ability to focus the mind on an object, the ability to keep the mind on the object over a period of time, and the ability to understand what gives that object any power, which is kindness to others. Okay? This building is held up by your kindness to others. I was in New York. We were next to the World Trade Center. And I was giving my last classes before the three-year retreat. I said, this building could collapse. These buildings can fall down tomorrow. If there's not enough kindness to keep them up. See? So, dharana, focus. Dhyana, fixation on the aspirin. Samadhi, understand, that's the team. That's the combined effort. That's sanyama. Now turn that on your channels. Turn that on your channels. Turn that on your inner channels. What does that mean? You can say, do your asanas with knowledge. Now we're really covering the Yoga Sutra. I feel good. If somebody leaves during refreshments, I feel happy. Really, really. Because now you've turned your knowledge on yoga. See, he's saying, turn those power of those three last Ashtanga elements, turn them on. Why is this helping my channels? Why is this changing my being? Why does the yoga pose, when I twist to the right, why does it open the pingala? You know? Why? Why does it work? You tell me, you can have refreshments. If you can't tell me, you have to sit. Why does yoga itself work? And that's why you're here, isn't it? People said, can we do some asanas, Krishna? I said, we are doing asanas. But we'll do some more later. We can do real ones later. It'll be fun. What happened if you turned those three things on your yoga? What would you understand about how your own yoga physical practice works? Why does yoga work for some people, and why does it not work for other people? If it's loaded. If it's loaded. Okay? How would you load a yoga pose? Help someone else. Okay, I love those yoga classes. I don't know why, but Anusara people seem to do it a lot. I don't know why. But they seem to applaud a lot for other people, and they're sitting there, and everybody's trying to do a headstand, and everybody's looking at the one person who's doing it right, and they actually feel happy for them. You know? And that's loading a yoga pose. What's the opposite? Yeah, you're jealous. You're saying, why is he doing a better headstand? Nobody's looking at my headstand. Nobody's looking at his headstand. And then you hurt your neck. Really? Because you've unloaded that asana. Okay, got it? Turn sanyam, Surya sanyama, Bhuvana sanyama, Chandra sanyama, Tarabhiva sanyama, Ruve sanyama, Tadgati sanyama. If you understand the channels, you'll understand how to get the prana to follow the channels. Because it's not by doing the pose. It's by helping someone else and then doing the pose. Okay? So could you just as well go sit on the couch and watch TV? Help somebody, then go sit on the couch and watch TV. If yoga doesn't do anything without loading, could you load another action? I mean, in theory it's possible, okay? In theory it's possible. If you really helped other people, you could sit on the couch and constantly get stronger and healthier. Okay? But there's a preloading. Okay? And we'll get into that someday. It's more likely that if you do yoga after helping someone that you're going to get stronger and thinner than if you sit on the couch and eat pizza after helping someone. That's just because of preloading of those actions. But we won't get into that tonight. Okay. Have a nice break. Okay? And we'll start in 5-10 minutes.
That's important because if you want the transcript of the meditation we had last night, we will send you that and also an audio of it. And on the way out also, the answer keys for homework 1, 2, and 3 will be at the door. So you need to pick those up there. And anything else, Talia?
Yeah. The schedule.
The schedule, Geshe-la's schedule. And homework 3, all at the back.
One more subject and then we'll kind of.
Sure.
Okay, we have to finish one more thing and then we'll have a small graduation ceremony. Somebody came up to me and said, by the way, obviously we're not going to finish all the third homework, and you'll read it, and that's okay. And we'll meet someday, and we'll finish it, okay? But they asked me a very important question. They said, basically, Geshe-la, I understand from your description what I'm supposed to do to use the Yoga Sutra in my life. You know, if I want to find a partner, I will help lonely people. You know, if I want to improve my asana, I will serve the sick from time to time. You don't have to like become Mother Teresa, okay? Just to a certain extent, if you want to improve your asana practice, help the sick. Help other people with their bodies, you see? And I understand that, you know, if I want to get... I never wanted to be rich, you see? But I wanted to get to what I call oxygen level. Like, you don't worry about the amount of oxygen in this room. You just come in and you pump it. And you don't worry about how much oxygen there is. I think it would be nice to reach a level of financial prosperity where Not where you have a big house or you have three cars or something like that, but just like oxygen. You have to think about it. It's just there and you use it and you say, you pay your credit card and you're not like stressed about it. That's what I mean. Where you don't have to think about it. And then you can concentrate on cooler stuff. And then obviously you have to, man does not live on money, girlfriends, and yoga alone. You need, I think you should get those things if you want them. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think you should have a good partner, you should have a nice house, and you should be strong and healthy. That's fine. And then you'll be in position to do higher things. You know? Then you can help the poor in the world, you can help stop war. And again, you're going to do it by working on the outside and working on the inside. And now you know how that works. So you can even reach very high goals. We say you can stop death, okay? But that's, you would have to help a lot of people to do that. But there's something that can block you, okay? Now you know how to make new seeds for your future. You understand the principle. It takes constant practice, because you can't go to a two-day thing or a three-day thing and you're going to go home and implement this. It's not going to happen. Tomorrow, when you get a headache, you're gonna claw that bottle open, and it's gonna be the same thing. So it takes, say, sattu,
yogakala,
sakkara, sarito,
abhyas,
from the first chapter. Sattu yogakala. You must practice this over an extended period of time. Yogakala. Sakram. Dirgakala. Sakram. Sevito. Then there's some stira. What is that? Buddha. Anyway, it's like this. Sattva Dirgakala. Sakara. Sakara means you have to do it correctly. Okay, there's technique things. And you will be stuck on technique sometimes. You have to go to somebody and say, Geshe-la, I'm getting some result, but it's slow. How do I speed it up? Okay, sakura. Dirgakala sakura, sevito. Sevito, you have to. What do you call it? You have to. Cultivate your practice. You have to cultivate your practice. Dirgadumi means then it will be stronger. So it means you need a daily practice. You need to do it daily. It has to be steady over a long period of time. You have to get to where your natural reaction to a problem is to examine your heart and do the opposite. You have to get to where that's your natural reaction. And that takes a lot of practice. Abhyasa means daily practice. For that you need Ishvara Pranidana Dva. Say Ishvara.
Ishvara.
Pranidana Dva.
Pranidana
Dva. It means you need a teacher. Okay? You need a good teacher. And you have to find the teacher that fits you. Everybody's different, you know? Some people need a mean teacher. My teacher was mean. My teacher never said a good thing about me for 25 years. You know? Just hit me. Just rushed me. And it worked for me. You know, some people need these big, smiling, nice teachers. And, you know, you look for your heart teacher. Find your heart teacher. You can't make progress unless you find your heart teacher. And there's a lot of qualified teachers here. You know, as you come to the programs and stuff, you can meet, there's like, we've trained 130 teachers graduated 2 weeks ago from a 12-year program. A tough 12-year program. And they're good. So you'll get to know, you can get to know people and you can find which one fits your personality. Okay? Because everybody's different and everybody needs a little bit different. You gotta find your heart teacher. But, knowing everything you need to do, having a good teacher, you're still going to have old seeds in your mind from all the stuff you did before you heard this. Okay? And everybody has made big mistakes in your life. Don't think you're unique. Okay? Don't think you're the only one. Okay? Everybody in their life has made mistakes that they wish they hadn't done. That's all. We all have. Everybody has. Okay? And those seeds are in your mind. They don't go away. You can't wish them away. They're there. And they stay there. It might take 10 years, it might take 50 years, but they will ripen. You know, anything you've done to hurt anyone in your life must come back to you. If it hasn't yet, it's going to. So we have all these time bombs in our own mind. We have all these disasters waiting to happen. Because whatever the action was, the result is going to be 10 times bigger. You know, if you cheated on one person, you're going to be cheated on by 10 people. So if you lied to this person, you're going to have 3 years of people lying to you all the time. You see, the results are bigger than the cause. The oak tree is bigger than the acorn. Duh. Okay? It's the same. So it becomes in our interest. And someone came up to me and reminded me, you know, Geshe-la, you promised to talk about how to stop an old bad karma. You know, I have an old bad karma in my pocket. We call karmic pocket. Okay? In Tibet, they used to have a custom of the month. If they had a good thought, they would stoop and pick a white pebble and put it in the pocket, in their left pocket. And then if they had a bad thought, they would pick up a black pebble and put it in their right pocket. And at the end of the day, they would empty out their pocket. And there'd be like 3 white pebbles and 400 black pebbles. Okay, so I'm human. I can't control myself. Even after the lecture. Even after giving the lecture. I'm human. I make mistakes. Can I do something about my old sins? Can I fix them? And that I'm going to teach you last. Then we'll do a little, we'll give out the certificates, okay? You can stop an old karma. There are 4 steps. They're called topshi. Topshi means the 4 powers. Any bad karma you ever did in your life, you can stop it before it ripens on you. And you must, okay? You have to take an interest in it. It's not going to go away. Whatever you've ever done to anyone is going to come back to you 10 times. So take an interest and fix it, okay? Sometimes you don't remember what you did. Okay? Like, I'm having lower back problem and I don't remember ever hurting anybody's lower back. Okay? Then you have to be a detective. You have to say, what must I have done that I don't remember? It must have been hurting someone's health in a certain way. So you have to become like a semi-detective. Some bad stuff you remember doing. Some bad stuff you can't remember, but you can observe the result and you can figure out the cause without remembering what you did. Got it? So it's either going to be you remember what you did, or it's going to be that you figured out what you must have done and you don't remember. Okay? Because we're also talking past lives, which you don't have to believe. Okay? Okay, 4 steps to stop your karma, and then nothing's going to stand in your way, right? You know how to plant the new seeds, and you stop the power of the old seeds, then you're on your way. You can do anything. Okay, so you know these 4 things, then I can shut up and we can give you a certificate. Okay, number one. When you want to fix an old bad karma, it's called the power of foundation. The foundation. Review what you understand about seeds. Okay? Review what you understand about how the world is happening. Okay? Aspirin, you can review the aspirin. Okay? It's a mind training. You're getting your mind used to the idea about the aspirin and loading things. Okay? So spend a few minutes and review where stuff is really coming from. Just mentally. Okay? Sitting a couch at home, turn off the TV and think about where stuff is really coming from. You know? Why do I have a boss who yells at me? Oh, I must be yelling at somebody. You like that? Start maybe thinking that. Practice thinking that way. That's step number one. Step number two. By the way, that's called tengito. Step number two is number sanjungeto. It means develop a healthy regret for what you did. Say, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I did that. The Tibetans, and in Sanskrit, I've studied both for, I don't know, 103 years. There is no word for guilt. There is no word for guilt. They do not have guilt. Guilt means you sit there and say, I'm a bad person, and you're paralyzed. Okay? We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, I just did something which is going to come back to me. Now what do I do? It's like a plan of action. You don't feel paralyzed, you feel empowered. You're like, okay, I made a mistake this morning, but I can fix it. You know? And you say, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry I did it because it's going to come back to me. It's not that God is going to strike you dead or something like that. Although he may. Okay? But it's like I just did something which is going to come back to me and hurt me 10 times. So I'd like to fix it. That's all. I just made a mistake. It's going to come back to me much more power. I want to shut that power down. That's number two. Okay? That's number two. Healthy regret. Regret which is powerful. Number three is the one you want to do if you don't have time to do any other ones. Number three is the most important one. Okay? Number three is the thing that destroys the power of the old karma. Okay? What is number three? I will not do this thing again. I will, the decision, the resolution in your mind, I will not do this thing again. Okay? Stops the old power. Stops the karma of the old power. For example, if you were involved in an abortion, okay, and you wanted the one most powerful thing to stop that power before it came back to you, you would say, I will never do that again. That's all. I'll take more care. I won't get in that situation again. I will not get in that situation again. Okay? Like that. But that decision destroys the old karma. It's very beautiful. You know? So big stuff, you can make a decision like that, okay? Big stuff, you can say, I'm never going to put myself in that situation again. I'll be more careful. I promise. That promise, the better you keep it, it destroys the old karma. And you will not experience the result of that old karma. It's very beautiful. Okay? The decision, the state of mind to decide, destroys it. Now, what if you've been yelling at your husband? Do you want to sit down and say, I will never yell at my husband again? Not wise, not wise. Why? Now you're going to collect a new karma called life. Because next week, when he says that stupid thing that he always says, you're going to yell at him. You know? So the great lamas, the really great lamas, my lama's teacher was the Dalai Lama. The really great lamas, they say, make a time limit. On the little stuff. On the stuff you can't, I mean, an abortion you can say, I'm never going to put myself in that situation again. I will take care. I will not be put in that situation again. You can say that. But yelling at your husband, set a time limit. I always say, you know, we're having a weekend retreat in January, right? I always say, make a resolution on the Friday that you're leaving on the retreat, that you will not yell at your husband for 3 days. You know? And then leave for retreat. And you can probably keep it. Because you'll be back at home. Okay? So, anyway, pick a time period that you can watch your mind. Pick a time period that you can control yourself. For that time, it could be 3 hours. It could be a day. It could be a week. But say, I will not yell for a day. Until 6 o'clock tomorrow, p.m. At 6:05, I'll yell. At 6:00, I will not. After 6:00, I will not be yelling. Okay? The most difficult thing is the mental karmas. The karmas which are false. Okay? We know in our meditation practice, which you'll learn in November, okay? There's a custom to do this resolution every morning before you meditate. Okay? So, you can think, I promise not to get angry about my ex-wife, you know, for 10 minutes. Or something like that, you know. I've done something like that in my meditation. Then, during the meditation, I start thinking about them again. And then I got angry again. Just by deciding not to be angry, I thought again about why I was angry. And then I got angry again. Just in the 1 minute in the meditation, I got angry again, you know. And then I'm like, God, you're already broken, and you only made a 10-minute limit, you know. So make it doable. Make it reasonable. Something you can do. And it might be 5 minutes. You know, I'll watch my mind for 5 minutes, and I won't be angry about the person who messed me up so bad last year. Be like that. Set a time limit. For the big stuff, you can say, okay, I won't do that anymore. I won't drink and drive again. In my whole life, I won't drink and drive again. Because I got in that accident, I almost killed somebody, and that's something you can keep for your life. Okay. All right, last thing. And by the way, that's the most important one. That destroys the old karma. The last one is called, what is that called? It means
I will do a makeup activity. Okay? I will do a makeup activity. You know, like in school when you got in trouble because you did something bad and they said write on the board, I will not, you know, be late for class and you're 400 times. That's a nyamukun jipeton. So what's a real life example? If you were, say, involved in an abortion, then in nyamukun jipeton, because they all volunteer at a children's hospital for one day every 2 weeks for the next 6 months. Okay? Don't go wild, because you'll break it. You see? Then you make a new bed come. See? Make something reasonable. Say, I will volunteer at the hospital twice a month for 6 months. You know, something you can do. And then do that. Okay? And that's a makeup activity. A very powerful makeup activity is study. A very powerful makeup activity is study. I will read the homework master to the third course of what that guy gave. I'll read it through twice in the bathroom while I'm sitting there. That's why I read most of my important stuff. And then, you know, I will read it twice. And that's a very powerful makeup activity. Okay? Why? It gives you understanding. Then you won't want to do stuff that you have to start making up antidotes for. Okay, like that. Okay, understanding is the way out. Okay, yoga shita vritti niroda. Right, stopping how the mind turns things the wrong way. And understanding is the way. And then you gain understanding by having a good teacher. And then abhyasa, a daily practice. A daily practice. That you don't, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 15 minutes. And you can learn that. You'll start in November, okay? You can train in a very ancient, authentic lineage of meditation, and then you can start a daily practice. And it's amazing. If you want to be successful in business, then learn that. If you want to be successful in your life, do that. If you want to stop the war in Iraq, daily practice, okay? Under a qualified teacher, all right, like that. Okay, so we're gonna have our little graduation ceremony. I'm just, Ian and Vanessa made this all happen. I'd like to give them a hand. And I'd like to ask Vanessa to read the name, and then she'll give Ian the diploma, the certificate. And then you guys come up and get it from Ian, okay? I get to take a break.
First one is Jamie Alexander.
Yay!
Nick Bez. Yay! Michael Craig. Alice Perrin. Tara Salea. Gary Chica. Barbara Castronova. Nancy Dales. Cole Hartley. Charisse Johnson. Brian Denny. Yay! Mindy Keeling. Joyce. K-O-C-O-W-E-K. Cynthia Court. Ben Kramer. Hey, Carrie Krupp. Thank you.
Mühlhausen. Kieran Manishan. Randy Mead. Marjorie Meyer. Danielle Miner. Deborah Moody. Marissa Neville. Donna Peterson. Scott Price. Rickards. Allison Roof. Rob Rusinger. Kimberly Screen. Vicky Steele. Mimi Soler. Jessica Thompson. Jennifer Clade. Not sure I said it right. Jennifer Wade. Anna Wheeler.
Like a beautiful bird, and you send the karma,
and you dedicate it to the people, let's say the people of Phoenix, okay? The people of the city of Phoenix. So there's a beautiful chant to that gift. So I'd say close your eyes, and then Mercedes will sing the chant. And imagine that that karma is coming out like a beautiful bird, and you're offering it to the people of Phoenix. And then it will bank the karma. Okay, here we go. Thank you so much. We'll meet again.